Today, I want us to look at a man who had extraordinary hope, faith, and love. This story is about the centurion. This story can be found in Matthew 8, 5-10, but can also be found in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7, 1-10. Luke, being a medical doctor, writes the story from his perspective, while Matthew, in his sharing of the healing of the centurion servant story, would also write from a different perspective. A little background on centurions. Centurions were the backbone of the Roman army. In a Roman legion, there were approximately 5,000 to 6,000 men, and they were organized into 10 cohorts. Each made up of several centuries of roughly 8 to 100 men led by a centurion. The centurions were the finest and most important in the Roman army. They were responsible for the discipline regiment and they were the cement which held the army together. In peace or in war, the morale of the Roman army depended on them. So this centurion was a man of status, power, and carried with him a great amount of authority. But there was something quite special and unique about him. May I submit that what was special about him was that he had an extraordinary hope. Luke tells us in Luke 7 and verse 3 that he heard of Jesus. The Bible never indicated to us that he had ever seen Jesus done a miracle. But he heard, and Matthew tells us that he came and spoke directly with Jesus. There are several things that could have prevented this centurion from speaking to Jesus or even sending to Jesus, as Luke stated. First, pride could have kept him from going to Jesus, because he was the finest of the centurion. Prejudice could have also kept him from going to Jesus. He was a Gentile and Jesus was a Jew. Having preconceived ideas about who Jesus is and about his miracles. Thirdly, his social status in society could have also kept him from sending to Jesus or even going to Jesus. But regardless of all these things, he heard about Jesus and he had hope. He had hope that his servant would be healed. We are reminded in Hebrews 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Greek word for hope is elpis, which means confident expectation, trust or anticipation of something good. It was not a vague hope that he had. It was not a wishful thinking, but he had a firm assurance, a confident expectation, a trust in this man that he heard about, that he could bring about a change in the life of his servant. Perhaps he heard that Jesus was a healer, that he made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. Perhaps he heard that he walked on water. Perhaps he heard that he spoke and the wind and the sea obey him. Perhaps he heard how he raised the dead. May I ask you today, what have you heard about our Savior? What have you heard? Has it changed your doubts to hope? Has it given you a confident expectation that no matter the circumstance, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, according to the power that worketh in us? What have you heard? Has it brought you to a place where you can trust in the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, just like this centurion? He heard about Jesus and he was filled with extraordinary hope. It was a hope that maketh not ashamed. In the book of Joshua 2, Rahab said as she spoke to the spies, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, what he did to the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed." My friends, today I ask you the question, what have you heard about this man Jesus? Is he worth you putting your hope in him? I think so. He was not only a man of extraordinary hope, but a man of extraordinary faith. Jesus said he had not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. To think that this man was a Gentile and not a Jew, and to question how little or how much he knew about Jesus, despite his race, despite his social status, he was still able to have faith in Jesus. He had so much faith in Jesus that he could say to Jesus, "Just speak the word and my servant shall be healed." The centurion believed that Jesus' word alone carried authority without needing his physical presence. Do you believe in the authority of the Word of God? That God's Word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction? Do you believe that God's Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? The Word of God is powerful enough to heal any diseases. It is powerful enough to change the vilest of sinners that truly believes. It is powerful enough to set the captives free, those who are bound to addiction and slaves to their desires and fleshly appetites. God's word carries the authority to set you free. Do you believe, like the centurion, in the authority of the word of God? The centurion had faith in God's word. He said, "Speak the word, Lord, and my servant will be healed." It was an extraordinary faith. Hebrews 11:6 reminds us, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Indeed, the centurion believed that Jesus was a rewarder as he diligently seek him. The centurion's faith came from hearing about Jesus, not from witnessing signs or miracles. So many people today seek after signs and seek after miracles, and even in witnessing the miracles and the signs, they still remain in their sins. But today, God wants you to take him at his word and have faith that leads to the salvation of your soul. The centurion, this man, great faith along with his hope. His faith demonstrated also the measure of humility and understanding of our Lord's authority. He says, "Speak the word, for I also am a man set under authority, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth." It shows us that he recognized that while he had authority on earth, Jesus had authority in heaven and on earth. When Jesus was returning to heaven after the resurrection, he said, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." Philippians 2, verse 10 to 11 states that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Finally, he not only had an extraordinary hope and faith, but he had an extraordinary love. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The one he came to seek help for was just a servant. What a love. A man of prestige, a man of power and position. And he could love a servant. He was grieving that his servant was ill. Matthew told us that he was sick of the palsy and grievously tormented. But Luke tells us that he was sick and ready to die. The servant was at death's door. This was quite unusual. This was not the normal attitude of a master to a servant. Servants were dispensable. If one died, you could get another servant. In the Roman Empire, servants did not matter. They were of no importance to anyone, if they suffered or whether they lived or died. For a master and a servant had nothing in common. A servant was just a living tool. A servant had no legal rights whatsoever. His master was free to treat him good or maltreat him as he liked. But what a demonstration of love by this centurion. He didn't treat his servant as he should be treated as a servant. May I remind you that we too were sold on the slave market of sin, and Satan was free to do whatever he liked with us until Jesus stepped in and offered us freedom. We were helpless. We had no way to redeem ourselves, no way to emancipate ourselves from sin. But thank God, the day when Jesus extended to us grace and mercy, and today we are no more servants, but friends. John 15 verse 15 states, "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." You see, friends, when we give our lives to the Lord, we are no longer servants, but we are now friends of Christ. The Bible reminds us, "Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." Thank God that even in our sinful state, even as servants to sin, Christ has loved us. Psalm 103 verse 10 to 11 reminds us that he had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. The centurion went to Christ on behalf of his servant. May I ask, who have you gone to Christ for in the past year, month, weeks, and days? May I submit, as I close, that let us go to Christ on behalf of someone who is a servant to sin, so that they too will come to a place where they can have hope and faith in Christ, and then can demonstrate extraordinary love to others. The centurion's love depicted that of the love of Christ. It also demonstrated that kind of love to us. It was quite clear that this centurion demonstrated extraordinary love. How is your love? Do you only love those who love you back? Or those of your own social status? Those who carry your kind of authority, prestige, or power? May I encourage you, let us love as Christ loved. I close with a verse from Luke 6, verse 35. "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Here was a man who demonstrated to us extraordinary hope, extraordinary faith, and extraordinary love. May I say, go and do likewise. Amen.